Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the wonderful presence, dear God. You've come in this place while the people are worshiping you, Father. We ask now, Lord, that you would, this part of the service, come and anoint your servant, Lord, that may be able to minister the message, Lord, you've placed on my heart to be a help to the people. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name and to the glory of God. Amen. Let's read from Isaiah in chapter 53, verses 1 through 3. We're going to continue on our ministering about the hid behind badger skins. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Amen. You may be seated. While you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus chapter 25, and we'll read from verse 10. Brother Branham says in the message of unveiling of God, he said, notice the old veil that hid the glory. The old badger skins, there was no beauty to be desired of it, neither was there of Jesus' flesh. He didn't look like a king, the old badger skin. See what he's calling Jesus' flesh? The old badger skin. But oh, what was on the inside? Outwardly it was nothing, but all was on the inside. Amen. And Isaiah, in prophesying about Christ, the coming of Christ, he said he was actually talking about in his flesh, see that old badger skin, that there would be no beauty in it, that people would desire him. There was nothing, when you beheld Jesus, there was nothing that looked special about him. He had not been glorified yet. He had not received the glorification of God. There was no aurora about him. There was nothing special about him that anybody would look to see him any different than any other Jew walking down the street. Now let's read from Exodus chapter 25, begin at verse 10. This is what was hid behind the badger skin. And they shall build an ark of shittim wood, 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, within and without shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be on the one side of it, and 2 rings on the other side of it. And thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. And the staves shall be in the rings of the ark, and thou shalt not, and they shall not take, be taken away from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. And thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold, of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat. And 1 cherub on one end, and the other cherub on the other end, even of the mercy seat shalt thou make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another, toward the mercy seat shall the faces of the cherubims be, and thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there will I meet with thee, and I will commune with thee above the mercy seat from between the two cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So we see what was behind those old badger skins was something, what was behind there was beauty. It was beautiful what was on the inside. But on the outside, it didn't look beautiful at all. And Brother Branham talking about Christ, he said on the outside, you know, he didn't look like a king. But it was what was on the inside. On the outside, it was just badger skin. It was covered by flesh, covered by humanity. He got tired, just like you and I. He got hungry, just like you and I. He got old, just like you and I. He aged. And even at the age of 32, why, he almost looked like he was 50. To the people, because they said, when he said, before Abraham was, I am, and they said, well, you're not even 50 years old. And so on the outside, it was just like our flesh on the outside. And when you look at our flesh, there's no beauty in it. It's full of mistakes. It's full of failures, is what I'm talking about. It's full of faults. We struggle, we fight with our flesh. We have a constant battle with our flesh. Our flesh desires things that the soul has no need of or desire of. Notice it was guarded. He had it. You see, what it represented, the testimony that was placed in it, represented the word. And so, you see that the ark was actually a representation of your soul. And in your soul to God is a beautiful thing. The soul of an individual is a beautiful thing. You know, that's the most important part of you. A lot of times people worry about somebody's flesh. They worry about when they're wanting somebody to be saved, they're always worried about their flesh. But what you need to be worried about is the soul. And if you're concerned about the soul, you don't care what happens to their flesh. You don't care what God's got to take them through. You don't care if God's got to bring them down to death, as long as their soul gets saved. That's the beautiful thing. That's what we're concerned about, is the soul of the individual. And as it represented the word, if you remember in the book of Genesis, that it talks about the tree of life, and that after the fall, after that Adam and Eve had fallen, and then they were drove from the garden, and then God placed two cherubims to guard or keep the way to the tree of life, so that man couldn't come back and partake of the tree of life, but it also kept the way. It preserved the way to the tree of life, so that there would be a time when there would be somebody that could bridge that gap and bring man back to where he could partake of the tree of life. I'm not a literal tree, but to partake of it spiritually, to eat spiritual food in due season, to actually be able to have eternal life. Hallelujah. So as he placed cherubims there to keep the way to the word, he placed cherubims to guard the word that was inside the Ark of the Covenant. Now, even when Solomon built the temple. As beautiful as the temple was, he still brought the old badger skins from because remember David said, he looked and said, why should God dwell in a tent while I live in a beautiful house? And so David had a desire to build a house for God. And so God told him, I'll let your son Solomon build it. He said, I won't let you build it because you got blood on your hands. You're a warrior. But I'll let your son Solomon to build the temple. So David actually laid out all the plans for the temple. He laid out how everything would be made, the materials that would be used to make it, how it would, how everything would be. He did, as we would call it, he was the architect of it. He laid out the blueprints for it. And when Solomon became king, all he did was follow the blueprints that David had laid out. And Solomon built the temple, and the temple was built, and it was beautiful. But he brought the old badger skin, that old ugly badger skin, into that beautiful temple to hide the beauty of the Ark of the Covenant. See, Solomon's temple, the reason that God allowed Solomon to do it, because Solomon's reign was actually a reflection of the coming of the millennium. And so being a reflection of the coming of the millennium, then they were allowed to build a beautiful tabernacle, a beautiful temple. Which, when we come into the millennium, we'll have a glorified body. We'll have a body that's been changed back to young again, that doesn't get old, that doesn't get sick, that isn't tempted by sin, isn't tempted by the devil. That's why it says he'll be bound for 1,000 years. And Brother Adam said, it's not with the logging chain, it's with the chain of circumstance, being that you will be in a glorified body, so Satan's temptations will have no effect on you then. But right now you're in a flesh that's in a fallen state, so Satan's temptations has an effect on your flesh, but it doesn't have an effect on your soul. Can you see the beauty there? Brother Branham even says that a spirit, a demon, could get on a person and actually drive them insane in their mind. Remember that the mind was the battleground that Satan chose. And that a devil could actually drive somebody insane. But Brother Branham said that has nothing to do with their Holy Ghost that's in their soul. They would still be sealed in their soul. Oh my, are you seeing the beauty of this? And so, Brother Branham says, in the mighty God unveiled before us, he says, see, he veiled himself back there, but by faith Israel knew that he was back there. They knew he was back there regardless of what any heathen worlds had to say. He was hid from the unbeliever, but the believer by faith knew he was back there. And this is speaking of you having the Holy Ghost. By faith, you know you've got the Holy Ghost. The world can't see it. The world, all they can see is this old badger skin you walk around in. They see your faults. They see your failures. They see your mistakes. They see this old flesh. And you know, Satan's always got people out there that are trying to push your buttons. And I want you to know, the devil knows where your flesh buttons are. The devil knows what to say to get you upset. And then he'll have somebody push that button, get you upset, and say, well, I thought you were a Christian. See, they're looking at that old flesh. But that soul is sealed, friends, until the day of redemption. You can't lose the Holy Ghost once you've got it. So by faith, you know you have it. Now, this isn't a hope. And I'm going to get into some more things that will help you. It's not a hope that you have it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is an evidence of what you can't see. When you look in the mirror, friends, you can't see the Holy Ghost. When you think about yourself in your mind, you can't see the Holy Ghost. When you sit there and begin to take an inventory in your mind of yourself, what comes up is all your mistakes. What comes up is all the failures of your flesh. But faith is the evidence that you've got it. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said that's the great secret. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? There's many that preach that had never been sent. They weren't sent by God. And it will always prove out. Truth always comes out. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Now here's this word, beautiful. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of truth. Isaiah, Paul says, as it's written. And where it was written at was in the book of Isaiah. You don't have to turn there, but I'll say it so that you know where it's at. Was in Isaiah 52 and 7. And in Isaiah it says, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings. So them that bringeth good tidings, if you were somebody waiting to receive a message, if you were waiting to receive good tidings, then how beautiful it would be to you to see the person coming that was bringing you those good tidings. So it's not the preacher's flesh. The preacher's flesh is just like yours. It's full of faults. It's full of mistakes. It's full of failures. But when the anointing of the Holy Ghost comes upon him, when the anointing of God comes upon him, and the gospel comes ringing out, then it might sound like his voice, but it's not his voice. It's God's voice. How beautiful is that? Because what it is, it's the word being spoken. And that word goes forth, and that word has an eternal effect on your soul. The beautiful part of you. Yeah, But they have not all, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Hallelujah. This is talking about you and me, the Gentile people. We are a people that were no people. We nothing sought after God. He came looking for us. Adam wasn't looking, going through the garden saying, God, where are you? It was God going through the garden saying, Adam, wherefore art thou? Hallelujah. But to Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So it's not enough just to hear the word. You've got to believe the report. You've got to believe the word. And when you believe, friends, you can't believe the word unless you are a part of the word. Unless you're a part of God, you can't believe the word. And if you're a part of God now, you always were a part of God. And if you always were a part of God, then there's no way that you could be sitting here believing the word and not have the Holy Ghost. Now, just want to make this crystal clear. There are three works of the Holy Ghost in your life. One is justification. You hear, and you believe, and you come, and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, or, you know, whatever, in so many words. So that's justification, being called. Then, once you repent of your sins, then there's another work of the Holy Ghost that begins to clean your vessel up. That's called sanctification. And sanctification means cleaned up and set aside for service. So then it starts to clean out all the things of the world. And when all the things of the world are cleaned out, then the Holy Ghost himself can come and inhabit that vessel. Now, sanctification doesn't clean your flesh. He said in the Bible, I will give you a new spirit. Brother Branham said, because with the old spirit, you couldn't even get along with yourself. So he had to give you a new spirit, because the Holy Spirit couldn't reside in you with the old spirit, because they were in enmity with one another. You had a carnal spirit, but you still live in the carnal flesh. And friends, this flesh, can you remember what drink tasted like? This flesh can remember the effects of any type of substance you might have ever done. This flesh can remember. And the flesh would say, boy, I'd like to have that again. But that soul says, no, I don't want any of that.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
Because in your soul, there's the desire to serve God. And that keeps you coming back. You go out of here on a Sunday morning after service, and you go out, and then Monday comes, and you've got to go through 6 days until you get back to here. And during those 6 days, there's all kinds of things you face. Because you live in an evil and wicked and perverse generation. We live in an evil age. We live in the darkest age there ever was. I just read in the news this week, there was a mother that came, and I won't go into all the details, but there was a mother that came to discover that the school was promoting her 13-year-old daughter to identify as a male. And telling her, and the social worker was telling her, don't tell your parents. And he gave her things to try to help her to have an appearance more of like a boy. And he said, don't tell your parents that I gave you this. And her mother found it and began to ask. And found out that the social worker at the school had gave it. So the mother calls the school and begins to complain. And the school says, we'll investigate it. And so after they investigated it, found out that even the teachers were calling her by male pronouns and were calling her by a male's name, and that they were in support of the social workers. And so it turned around, the principal and the board said, well, we're going to support them too. The child has rights. And the mother said, she's underage. She's a minor. I have rights as the mother of a minor to have be notified about things that are concerning her mental or physical welfare.
That's right. That is true.
But this world says, oh no.
That's right. Because evil is sick. It is adulterated.
You know what? And I always get this wrong, but the LGBT or whatever community, well, anytime they hear a story like this, boy, they're on it like flies. Huh. Did you know that, and I'm going to be careful because I don't want to get into any lawsuits, but did you know there was a hospital in Tennessee that has been performing gender-changing operations on minors? Well-known hospital. And now the government, of the state government, is trying to pass a law to where that none of that can be done on somebody that's under the age of 18. A young lady was a minor, and she, through other influences, got in her head she wanted to be a boy. So while she was a minor, her parents put her in for an operation to have a double mastectomy. And so she went through with it. And then as she got a little older, she changed her mind and decided, no, I don't want to be a boy. I want to be a girl. But Now she'd already had an operation that was too late. And she then condemned her parents for allowing her to go through a procedure like that, being a minor. Said, I wish they'd have never done that. Now, I'm telling you these things to show you just how dark of an age we're living in. This is what you deal with every day. And in this dark age that you live in, you deal with that through the week. You deal with people who are of the dark age. You deal with people who are serpent seed. And you make mistakes. And then you look and you think, oh my goodness, you know what? I don't even feel Christian right now. But then something inside of you brings you back anyway. Outwardly, you say, you know, I don't even feel like a Christian. I don't even feel worthy to go to church. But something inside of you brings you back anyway. What is that? It's the Spirit of God. It's that seed gene of God that's in your soul. It brings you back anyway. Why? Because there's a desire in there to serve God. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But all day long I have stretched forth my hands into a disobedient and gainsaying people. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that all might be saved. But he knew not all would be saved. And so, like a man who had to pearl a great price, he purchased the whole field just to get the pearl a great price. That's redemption. God died for the whole world just to save you. I'm not keeping very good track of time. I didn't see what time it was when I got up here. I know what time it was when I left the study back there. But now, Brother Branham says this. This is in Healing What Cancer Is, 1953. He said, now, these things by our teachers is cheated us from the things of the Spirit moving through us. We ought to have been way up the road. We ought to have been way up the road. How can we ever go in a rapture? Do you believe the church will be raptured someday? We which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. The trumpet of God shall sound and the dead in Christ shall rise first. How are we going to have rapturing faith when we haven't got healing faith? Hear me, he says. Now, when I read this, I thought of what I had read when Brother Branham said, by faith, Israel knew he was back there, pointing that it's by faith you know you have the Holy Ghost. And then when I read this, how can we have rapturing faith when we can't have healing faith? I thought, how could we have rapturing faith if we can't have enough faith to believe we've got the Holy Ghost? But if you're a child of God, if you're a seed of God, friends, you will have rapturing faith when the time comes where it's needed. He said, I will present to myself a glorious church. What is that? A beautiful church. Hallelujah. Listen, he said, but there's coming an hour that when the church of Jesus Christ shall rise in her beauty. I believe we're in that hour. The church is rising in her beauty. Not a particular church, but speaking about the bride of Jesus Christ rising in her beauty. You are rising in your beauty. Hallelujah. The Bible says, I will restore, saith the Lord. What's he going to restore, Brother Branham said? He said he's going to restore the beauty that the church had at one time. He's going to restore the same church he had at Pentecost. Hallelujah. Let's look at that church at Pentecost. Because he's talking about he's going to restore the beauty that the church had at Pentecost. There was two individuals that were members of the church that went out and sold the land that they had. And they gave a portion of their profit to the church. But they told the church that they gave it all to them. And Peter called them before him, Ananias and Sapphira. He called Ananias for him and says, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? They had no reason to lie. It was pride. They wanted to be thought well of, so they said, we gave it all. They didn't have to say that. They could have gave what they wanted and then been done with it. They could have gave a tenth and have fulfilled the scripture. But they said, we gave it all. Peter said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? And Ananias fell over dead. Then they brought Sapphira in. And he said, why have you lied to the Holy Ghost? And he said, the same men that carried your husband out of here is going to carry you out of here. And she fell over dead. That was the beauty of the Pentecost church. The devil said, I'm going to come to church. And God said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to come to church and I'm going to tell a lie and I'm going to get everybody to believe it. And the Holy Ghost said, you'll not be forgiven in this world nor the world to come. I'm going to spread a lie around. You know, friends, for somebody to be successful spreading a lie, they got to come to a place where they believe the lie. Believe the lie themselves. I don't care if they do believe it themselves. If they spread it, it's still a lie. And they're responsible for it. This is in the message, The Unwelcomed Christ. May we worship thee in the spirit and in truth. In the beauty of holiness may we live every day. Not in the piousness of the flesh. Not in looking like just a good moral person. Having a good front on. being able to quote the scriptures, being able to quote the message, being able to talk real religious, being able to tell you what they know or think you want to hear. There are people that do that. Friends, if they got the wrong motive, they're going to tell you what they think you want to hear. I have dealt with that time and time again. And if you're not careful, you'll get excited about it because it is what you wanted to hear. Just to later get your bubble burst. Your balloon popped. When you realize they were lying. Oh, I want to serve God. There is plenty of liars that have said that. If you've got a desire in your heart to serve God, there's going to be a reflection of it. John said it this way, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. In other words, bring forth a life that shows you have repented. And Brother Ram said, repenting is a two-part thing. It's first asking for forgiveness for the sin. And then the second part of it is turning from the sin. Listen, come, let us reason together. And how that by the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you've kept us through the toils and dangers of the day and has presented us here again in this church tonight to worship thee in the beauty of the old-fashioned way of worship in spirit and truth. Amen. That's the old-fashioned way. Right. Now, the beauty of worship. Now, I'm not talking about the outward displays. I'm talking about when a person is worshiping and it's coming from down inside their soul, that worship. You maybe could be standing right next to them and you wouldn't even be able to see the beauty of that. But it's a beauty in that worship because it's coming from the soul. You know, I would rather hear a person who couldn't carry a tune in a bucket but could sing from their heart and mean it than to hear the best, beautifulest voice sing the same song. There's beauty in that. This is in when divine love is rejected, sovereign grace takes its place. God loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The smiting of the just judgments that belong to us, they were all smitten onto Christ. And out of him came forth rivers of living waters, speaking of the Spirit, that a perishing people might live. The waters of life coming from him, a smitten sacrifice. No matter how little, I love God for that. No matter who you are, it says, whosoever will let him come. No matter how little, like the text. No matter how small it is. And Brother Branham says, you know, when I go out into the woods and I see in the springtime, he says, I see these little bitty flowers Some of them, he said, not more than an inch, maybe an inch and a half tall. He said, they don't look very significant next to the great big oak. But he said, God cares about them little flowers. And he preserves them after it looks like they've died and they're gone. And nobody can see them anymore. But he preserves them so that the next spring they'll come up again. The little bitty beautiful flowers. And he goes on to say, he says, and God knows them every one. God is concerned about us all. No matter how big, no matter how small, no matter how insignificant you might think you are. You're beautiful to God. Heaven's angels sing and rejoice when they hear one soul being saved. Why? Because it's beautiful to them. It's part of the plan of redemption. That man was lost. And there was no way back.
Amen.
And they looked, John said, all through heaven and all through the earth. And they could find no man worthy to come and take the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. And John began to weep. Why? Because all of mankind would be lost. And it says, weep not, John. For the lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And John looked, and when he saw a lamb as if it had been slain. It was bloody. It didn't look beautiful. But the beauty of it was that the innocent had been sacrificed for the guilty in order to take the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne to redeem you and I. Hallelujah. The beautiful plan of redemption. This in Jehovah of Miracles. When a man comes to get the Holy Ghost, you don't care what the neighbors is going to say. You don't care if you shout, you speak in tongues, or whatever you do. It's past that. You took God at his word. There's the evidence. Not shouting, not speaking in tongues, but you took God at his word. Now listen to this. You don't care for criticism. You've lost all your devil-made, homemade, intellectual society called prestige. He's talking about pride. The thing that you want is favor with God. You don't care what the Holy Ghost causes you to do. To shout, scream, cry, or bawl. Or anything you want to do. Anything the Holy Ghost puts on you, you do it because you don't care. You've lost all that man-made stuff. You're free in Christ Jesus. The Spirit of God has set you free. And you're free in the power of God, bathing in his beauty, worshiping him in the spirit and truth. You're a free person. You've took the word of God, and it took a hold in your heart.
Yes, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. How beautiful is that? Hallelujah. I'm saved and I know that I am. Hallelujah. Now, for a few minutes, I'm going to go over this. Some of you are very familiar with it. Some of you might not have ever heard it before. But before Brother Branham preached the message of the masterpiece in 1964, He had an interview in the back room with a sister by the name of Sister Bruce, Sister Georgia Bruce. And he had an interview with her. And in the interview, see, she was sick and he said he was going to pray for her. But then she says this, Brother Branham, most of all, I want the experience that I have been sealed in the Holy Ghost. And if God will reveal it to your heart. See, she had confidence in the prophet. Said, if God could reveal to you that I got the Holy Ghost, then I'll know I got it. I want you to know in this interview, God never did reveal to Brother Branham in a vision or anything, she's got the Holy Ghost by some kind of supernatural way that she was hoping for. It was revealed by the Word. He said, I believe with all my heart you are a real born-again believer, Sister Bruce. How could that spirit just leave? When you're sick, you get weary. You're a nervous type person. She says, yes. He says, and you get things on your mind, see, little bitty things, and it just keeps building up both ways. You'll get somebody on your heart, and you want to pray for them and get up and pray for it, and you can't rest until you get that person prayed for. That's you. Then take on the other side, Satan might present something to you. Out this way. What's he talking about? Presenting her mistakes to her. Presenting her flesh to her. I'm not assuming this. It comes from the reading of it. You'll see. You're a nature. God works and Satan works. And when Satan tries to make you believe that you're not, and you keep building this and maybe this and that, and see, don't look at yourself, Sister Bruce. That's what Satan was trying to do, get her to look at herself and get her not to believe, you ain't got it. There ain't no way you can have it. Friends, you're not exempt. You think Brother Branham was exempt? No. He said, you know what? I've had it. I'm fed up with this. I preach and preach and preach and look how the people do. They don't even believe. They don't even listen. They don't even heed to the gospel. I'm just going to leave and go off and live in the wilderness. That was his flesh. Yeah. He said, I'm going to be like an Old Testament prophet. They just went out and lived in the wilderness and said, then they just stomp in and say the word of God and then stomp right back out. God said, you're more than that. Why? You're the last prophet to the end time age. You're going to introduce Jesus Christ to the people again. Hallelujah. Because what you're going to preach, I don't care how many people while you're preaching don't believe it. There's going to be people out there even after you're gone that are going to hear it and are going to believe it and are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost because of what you preached. Hallelujah. Do you know the Gentile way of receiving the Holy Ghost? You know, the Jewish way was they went and they'd lay hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. But the Gentile way, the Bible says, was while they yet heard the word, they believed and received the Holy Ghost. Brother Branham said that was the Gentile way of receiving the Holy Ghost, believing the word. So while you're sitting in your seat, nothing fantastic happening up at the altar. Nothing fantastic really happening that anybody can see around your seat. But there is something beautiful happening inside of you. While the word's coming forth, you're receiving the Holy Ghost. And it don't make a sound. It don't make a flutter. It doesn't make a motion. You just got it.
Amen.
Now, let me continue with this so we can close. He says, I believe you're a genuine Christian woman. She says, but I make so many mistakes. I fail so many times. He said, that's why Christ had to die. So that you with your mistakes, they wouldn't be lauded to you. He took your mistakes. Your desire in your heart is to serve him. She says, yes. That's what he died for, so you could serve him. Your mistakes are not looked at, not lauded to you. He is your propitiation. He is your sin offering. Your sins are not known. Oh, but the accuser of the brethren. Isn't that what Satan is? The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. And he'll come and accuse you to you. Look at what you did. That was sin. And you know it was, and you did it. And you know what the Bible says. Yeah, Satan can quote it. You know what the Bible says. If you sin willfully, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. But there's a desire in your heart. And it says, I didn't want to do that. I didn't mean to do that. This old flesh, this old badger skin betrayed me. This old Judas that I live with. Your sins are not known. You're not a sinner before God. Christ took your sins and became you because your desire is to serve him. She says, but I've never had an experience that I've been filled with the Holy Ghost that I can put my foot on. He said, all right, notice this. Ordinarily, a human being is born in sin, shaped in iniquity, coming to the world speaking lies. That's the nature of a human being. She says, yes. He said, that was your nature. It changed once. But what changed it? She said, Christ. He said, there you are, sister. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life. What is that eternal life? It's the Holy Ghost. Hath eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but hath, past tense, passed from death to life. St. John 5:24, Jesus speaking, see? So you're a Christian, Sister Bruce. I've watched your life. I've watched you under a vision, and I know you're a Christian. Not one speck. I'm your shepherd, as it was, said somebody to help. Is there any doubt? If there was a doubt in my mind, if I thought something was wrong, I'd tell you, Sister Bruce, I believe, she said, I believe that. He said, but if there's anything wrong in your experience, anything wrong between you and God, as far as I know, I don't know anything about it, Sister Bruce. There's not a thing. There's not one thing. Now, he goes out and he begins to minister the message, the masterpiece. Right after this interview. And about paragraph 57, he says, on an interview a few moments ago, I was speaking to a person in the room that's present now and said, but Brother Branham, I have so many things I know that's wrong. A godly little woman. And I said, but look, sister, don't look at yourself. It's just what your desire is, what you're trying to do. Do I got the Holy Ghost? What's your desire?
That's right.
Is your desire to serve God? Is there something keeps holding me every day I see? It's a reality. Something keeps holding me. What's holding you? It ain't you.
That's right.
It ain't this old badger skin. Let's stand. Oh, don't worry, I got another one. It was cooking this morning while I was out walking. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we come before you now. We ask, dear God, that you, Lord God, will make this what has been preached, this word, a reality to each and every individual, Lord. I pray if there's anyone here in the sound of my voice that was not filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, that you'll fill him with the Holy Ghost. Lord, it's the scripture. It's a gift. It's not anything we got to do for it except believe it. It's a gift. You didn't give it to us because we deserved it. You gave it to us because you wanted to, because we were a part of you. Oh, Lord, there's no way we could miss the rapture because you're the one that's in control. If I was in control, Lord, I'd miss the rapture. But you said, I will present to myself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Hallelujah. You're going to present it. All we got to do is believe it. How do we as the bride clothe ourselves with the word, Lord? By believing the word. We'll still walk around in this old stinking flesh. Until the day which Paul says all creation groaneth and travaileth. What? For the redemption of the sons of God. For the redemption of the body. Hallelujah. To wit, the body change. Hallelujah. Lord, bless your people today. Bless them as they go. Bless their times of fellowship. Bless them together, Lord. I pray, Father, you'll go with them this week. Let them know you're with them. Let them know, Lord, you are the propitiation for their sins. Lord, you are the advocate that we have that pleads our case. And our sins are not known before God. The devil watches and he sees the sins of this flesh and he comes and accuses us and points them out to us. But God, you look down through the blood. And through the blood, you see us white as snow. You see us as beautiful as can be. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray that faith will grip and take hold. Bless your people now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.